Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope your Friday is going well. Great to be with you on this Friday, November 15th, 2024. So much to talk about and so little time. The hour flies by so quickly. Really looking forward to, as I always do, chatting with Doug Keck for our Inside Word. Doug, of course, is our president and chief operating officer, and he always gives us a look at what's coming up so you can mark it down and make a note of it so you don't miss any of the great programming. And if you forget, you can always go back and re-listen to the interview on our archive section, or you may simply go to our terrific website, which is EWTN.com. Fact Check Friday come out at the bottom of the hour, and I came across this very interesting interview that was done with the owner of the Los Angeles Times, and it was about a 10-minute interview that was on Fox News, and very interesting to me in terms of all these discussions on bias now and more balance since the election. Are they having a figurative come-to-Jesus moment? I have my thoughts on that. I'll explain, but I want to share the clip, just a short clip. Obviously, I can't play you the whole interview. But Trace Gallagher starts out with a very good question. He holds up the newspaper, the Los Angeles Times, a recent edition. This is prior to the election. He was holding up a newspaper prior to the election. The interview was after the election. And he was reading a headline that said, "Rally doubles down, Trump rally doubles down on hatred." Now, this is a kind of example that shows the extreme violence. Double down on hatred according to whom? Where's the attribution? That is such a sensational, biased headline right there. And so there was this whole controversy with papers like the LA Times, the Washington Post, the editorials they were going to publish about the two major candidates, what they weren't going to do. And now, because of, again, the way the country went in the election, the popular vote, the House, the Senate, the White House, the electoral votes, 312, America pushing toward the right. And now all of a sudden you've got ABC News also saying, ooh, we need to get some pro-Trump people on The View, as if Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar would stand for that. They would eat that person alive, as they did with John McCain's daughter. But now there's this interest all of a sudden. What's going on? Well, part of it is money. MSNBC's ratings are way down. CNN's ratings are so bad that they're laying off all kinds of people and cutting salaries. Chris Wallace, his contract, His pay was going to get renewed, but he wasn't going to get a raise. He's leaving on his own, wants to start a podcast. So all these things are happening and things are shaking up. In some ways, that's very good that they're looking at this, but you can't just solve the problem by throwing a few conservatives out there here and there, because this has been such a case of groupthink for years and years and years. I talked about this in my book, which was published 17 years ago, my first book, Noise. This is not all of a sudden a new thing. There have to be new people put in at the helm of these outlets that were trained properly. And I'm not talking about favoring the right, favoring the left, favoring anybody. Journalists who understand that fact is a difference. There's a fact, right? There's a factual story, and then you have an opinion piece, which belongs on the editorial page. And it has to be labeled as such. That understands a who, what, where, when, why, and how. Understands objectivity. At least attempting to get both sides of the story. That doesn't even exist anymore for the most part. But now all of a sudden you have all of these media execs and even former media execs saying, oh, we need more conservatives. Now, maybe it's the start of something good. But again, when you've been soaking in that bias and that worldview for so long, it is not going to change by just a few token conservatives. It is going to change by people even getting retrained or just bringing in entirely new people. And we'll play that clip for you, and I think it's really, really important, because the church tells us in the Catechism, in their segment on social communications, that we have a right to the truth and that journalists and media companies need to be responsible. It's very important. Truth. Remember, Pilate, what is truth? And we're still attempting to answer that question some 2,000-plus years later. Anyway, That is Fact Check Friday for today. We'll play that clip at the bottom of the hour. Then Matthew Wiseman, the book is Two Jerusalems, My Conversion from the Messianic Movement to the Catholic Church. That should be interesting. I'm so looking forward to this interview because when I was doing a short stint before I moved over to Catholic Radio in southeastern Michigan, of course, Ave Maria, I worked at the same station where Al Cresta worked. I was Catholic. I was just back in the church. And I would say on the air, I'm a Christian who worships in the Catholic Church. And I would get these very nasty letters from many people, including Messianic Jews, who told me that I was in the wrong church and that they worshiped, everybody in the church worshiped Mary, had false gods, idols. They were very anti-Catholic, many Messianic Jews. And I'm sure Matthew will have a lot to say about that. It'll be interesting to find out what brought him into the church. So we will discuss that 39 minutes past the hour. Right now, let's take a look at the weather. We have areas of critical fire weather and heavy snow coming today. We have gusty winds and low relative humidity bringing critical fire weather to parts of southern New England. And that's where some red flag warnings have been issued now. We also have several feet of snow accumulating over the Cascades from late Friday night into Monday evening as a storm system moves through the Pacific Northwest. So that's a brief look at the weather. It is a Friday morning. It is November 15th, 2024. And you are listening to the one, the only EWTN. And this newscast is brought to you by House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. Well, Brian Shook tells us Donald Trump is nominating Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services.
The president-elect released a statement saying Americans are being crushed by the industrial food complex and drug companies who engage in deception, misinformation, and disinformation about public health. He said Kennedy, who's been an outspoken critic of vaccine mandates, will restore health agencies to the traditions of gold standard scientific research and beacons of transparency.
The confirmation process, meanwhile, of President-elect Trump's pick for attorney general could be rough. Senator John Cornyn of Texas says he wants to review the House Ethics Committee's investigation of Mr. Gates.
I think there should not be any limitation on the Senate Judiciary Committee's investigation.
And Gates, who has been serving as a Florida congressman, resigned days before ethics investigations reports were expected. When Gates stepped down on Wednesday, it ended their jurisdiction and blocked the release of the report. He has long denied child sex allegations, but some senators say they still want to see the report. A federal investigation ended without criminal charges. And Lisa Taylor tells us Elon Musk says he'll receive no compensation for his work heading the new Department of Government Efficiency under President-elect Trump.
The tech billionaire wrote on his social platform X that it will require tedious work and he expects to make lots of enemies. He'll be working with former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy to lead Doge. This also comes after the group posted on X looking for potential employees.
Florida is taking legal action against a FEMA worker accused of ignoring hurricane victims who displayed signs supporting President-elect Donald Trump. Attorney General Ashley Moody says a lawsuit has now been filed against former FEMA supervisor Marnie Washington and the agency's current administrator, that's Deanne Criswell. Moody says she is going to find out how far the political discrimination reaches and to make sure all Americans who fall victim to storms are served. A complaint claims at least 20 homes in Lake Placid were skipped due to Washington's guidance after the area was hit by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. And this story is very shocking out of Burbank, California. A woman is behind bars after allegedly posing as a nurse and managing to work at several hospitals in L.A. County. On Thursday, the Burbank Police Department announcing the arrest of 44-year-old Amanda Liam Porter. Investigators say she posed as a registered nurse and oversaw dozens of patients at Providence St. Joseph Medical Center in Burbank for a full month. Family nurse practitioner Alice Benjamin also finds it hard to believe an impersonator could get so far. She says there are so many safeguards in place to prevent something like this from happening.
When you go to apply, you need to provide verification of your nursing license. In many cases now, you need to provide even a copy of your diploma or your transcript. We go through rigorous schooling programs, testing. We are licensed as nurses.
Benjamin says this makes her fear for the security of her own nursing licenses. Porter does not have a nursing license. She's also on federal probation following a fraud conviction in her home state of Virginia. Brad Ford tells us Washington State may face a lawsuit over computer problems causing delays in background checks for gun buyers.
The Washington State Court computer system went down November 1st, and it's also affecting the secure automated firearms e-check system. Without the ability to run background checks, gun sales are being delayed. The Second Amendment Foundation is threatening a lawsuit because it's preventing gun sales. They say residents have a constitutional right to buy a gun. There is no backup system.
FBI agents in Houston say they've arrested a man giving support to ISIS. U.S. Attorney Aladmar Hamdami says the suspect would not cooperate when confronted.
Now, the agents directed Mr. Saeed several times to put his hands up, but he ignored their commands and violently threw an object from his hand to the ground.
The agency says a 28-year-old is accused of attempting to provide material support to ISIS. He also admitted to planning a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. He's alleged to have been researching how to conduct an attack on local military recruiting centers and offering his home as a safe sanctuary to ISIS operatives. Officials say they will have more information on this developing story very soon. And Natalie Migliori tells us a statewide burn ban remains in effect for New York until at least the end of the month as brush and wildfires continue to spark across that region.
The major Jennings Creek wildfire, scorching thousands of acres between the New Jersey and New York border in Orange County, has forced Greenwood Lake School District to close for the rest of the week. Officials say a bear was saved and is recovering from burns sustained in the fire. The entire Hudson Valley, New York City, and Long Island region are at a high risk of fire danger. With little to no rain in several weeks, multiple areas are in a drought watch and trying to conserve water, including Dutchess, Rockland, and Greene counties, along with all New York City boroughs.
Tropical Storm Sara expected to linger over the Honduras Belize area into early next week, potentially causing catastrophic flash floods there and mudslides. Where it goes after that? Well, it emerges from the Yucatan Peninsula and then remains a bit of a mystery.
But latest trends have it moving further west, and at this time it poses no threat to South Florida.
National Weather Service meteorologist Ana Teres Vasquez saying what we can look forward to is a cold front pushing through South Florida tomorrow. It should bring nighttime temperatures into the middle 60s to around 70 with highs in the lower 80s. Rip currents will also continue through the weekend. And as Tropical Storm Sara swirls in the Caribbean, Florida's Power and Light says it's beefing up their power grids.
FPL works year-round to build a stronger, smarter, and more storm-resilient grid. And hardening our power lines is really just one of many ways we are enhancing our reliability for our customers, both in good weather and in bad weather.
That spokesperson Camrell Eppinger, who says the grid hardening reduces outages and restoration costs, and it also ensures they can restore power more quickly when severe weather does strike. Suicide rates in the military are on the rise, according to Mark Mayfield in the research he's been reviewing.
A new report found there was a slight uptick in military suicides in 2023 compared to 2022, which follows a decade-long trend of suicide rates increasing among service members. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the findings urgently demonstrate the need for the department to redouble its work in the complex fields of suicide prevention.
Measles cases there have gone up across the globe, but new report from the World Health Organization finding that cases of the disease rose by 20% worldwide between 2022 and last year. Although the number of cases increased, deaths from measles went down by 8%. The report does say the drop is mainly because a surge in cases occurred in countries and regions where children are less likely to die from measles due to better overall nutrition and access to health care. And Tammy Trujillo tells us cannabis use could be linked now, they say, to increased rates of cancer and birth defects as well.
A study out of Australia found that cannabis exposure was associated with noticeable increases in breast, pancreatic, liver, thyroid, and testicular cancers. Links to birth defects like missing limbs and heart problems were also uncovered, with cannabis users seeming to be passing mutated DNA to children in the womb. Researchers point to the increased potency of cannabis products available today.
Advanced Auto Parts closing more than 700 locations around the country. The North Carolina-based retailer says the closures are part of its business restructuring plan. Roughly 500 corporate stores and 200 independently owned stores will close by the middle of next year. And finally, in our news segment this morning on a Friday morning, November 15th, if you like roller coasters, well, this story may make you a little sad. Dave Folk Thomas tells us that Six Flags Great Adventure is retiring the world's tallest roller coaster.
The Jackson, New Jersey amusement park announcing Thursday it plans to take down the 460-foot-tall Thrill Ride, which was also once the world's fastest coaster at 128 miles per hour. Exactly what will replace it won't be announced till next summer. King Daka featured a sharp 418-foot drop and offered riders views of both the New York City and Philadelphia skylines. It provided more than 12 million rides since it opened in 2005.
It is a Friday morning, 15 minutes past the hour now. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And I forgot to tell you some exciting news at the top of the hour that next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the Rome crew from EWTN, our Rome Bureau, is going to be coming up and joining me in central Italy, and we're going to be spending 3 days shooting a learning series, an online learning series based on my new book being published by EWTN, coming out, God willing, in January. It's called Italy's Shrines and Wonders. And so we are going to take you on a mini pilgrimage with these different lessons for the online course. And then we'll be doing some promo videos for the book and whatnot. But I'm so honored, first of all, that EWTN agreed to publish the book and that they are coming up to film with me next week. So just asking you to pray for good weather. Vanessa Denhagarma will be filling in Monday and Wednesday, and I will be with you on Tuesday, so I'll tell you a little bit more about it then. But we're really excited. We have some special places where we're shooting these videos, and I hope you like it. We'll have more information as we move through the rest of the year, because the book is coming out in time for the Jubilee year in January, God willing, of 2025. And you can already order it on Amazon or through my website. Italy's Shrines and Wonders can be found at my book page on teresatomeo.com. And, of course, it's published by EWTN. We'll be right back. Speaking of which, our President and Chief Operating Officer, Doug Keck, joins us for the Inside Word on a Friday. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
It's a Friday. We check in with Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, to give you a sneak peek of what's coming up. Oh, my goodness, so much to talk about. I've been really enjoying all the news programs and Raymond's interviews and all the great coverage, and of course, in our news outlets. But I know there's even much more to talk about, correct?
There always is, obviously, because the church is always on the move, and the calendar for the church keeps rolling forward as we head towards, you know, obviously Advent and into Christmas. But we've got our St. Catherine of Siena, Doctor of the Church episode that's going to be airing. And speaking of Italy, it was filmed on location, parts of it in Italy. So that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. on the 16th. And then we've also got the Ten Commandments of Catholic Life with our one and only author as well and TV host and radio host, Father Wade Meneses of EWTN at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And speaking of Rome as well, we've got the Holy Mass of the World Day of the Poor coming up Sunday morning at 4 a.m., but we repeat it at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're up early, great. If not, you can at least get to see the event as the prayer of the poor rises up to God, which is the theme of this particular event. And Vaticano, there's a new episode. They're going to be talking about the Jubilee of Hope in that program, as well as artificial intelligence and how that relates to the church going forward. That'll be at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. Then as we look at next week, we've got Understanding Divine Mercy, a five-part series with Father Chris Alar, of course, of the Marians.
Ooh,
that'll be airing
be
all week long at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time for those who love Divine Mercy or those who'd like to find out more about it. And the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen, we have an episode of his airing on Monday as well on character building. Boy, we could use that now. That's at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time with Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And a new episode on Tuesday of our wonderful children's program, My Catholic Family. This one focuses on from St. Luke and focuses on how St. Paul evangelized the Gentiles as well. So the interesting little kids story, a little cartoon that focuses on a Catholic family and a Catholic saint. You can check that out. That's going to be on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, go to On Demand, check out all our programs, our YouTube channel, check out EW10.com to find out more programs and times of all these great programs. You can go to also our Podcast Central for all of our great audio podcasts from radio and from the other great Catholic podcasts out there in case you're looking for some new material or new programs or just wondering which ones you might be able to trust. So check that out as well.
Cool. Okay, I have to ask you this because you're a former secular media guy, and you and I have, this isn't our first rodeo, as they say, right? You and I have been around and doing this for a long time. So
right.
I was saying at the top of the hour, I'll get into this a little bit more detail in my Fact Check Friday segment, but now we have all these different media outlets, Doug, that are claiming they're going to strive for more voices, more balance, more conservatives. The View, ABC executives, apparently there's a big meltdown and a panic over there because they realize, oh my goodness, all of a sudden they realize that their hosts only have one view about particular candidates, especially the president-elect, and they're saying, ooh, we need some, you know, some pro-Trump and some conservatives. Now you've got the head of the LA Times, the owner there, saying we have to have more voices, and all these different people coming out and saying all of a sudden they need balance. And the thing that I wanted to discuss with you is that I always try to tell people, look, we make no bones about who we are. Mother Angelica founded this network for the specific purpose of saving souls and educating people in the faith. Okay, so that is clear who we are. You go to our website. We don't make any bones about it. But when you're hiding behind a secular media operation and claiming that you're a news operation, it's entirely different. Right. And many of these people who are so extremely biased have come to believe their own propaganda, but they don't even understand. All of a sudden, they need this? Why? What's your thought on that? I'm just wondering.
Money. Money talks,
well,
nobody
I think so
walks.
Too. Yeah.
That's what it is. It's called ratings and money. It's called, the obviously, there's a groundswell, millions and millions of people who obviously supported Donald Trump, and they didn't just dislike Donald Trump. They borderline hated Donald Trump. And I think what you're seeing now is people turning around who are running these organizations that ultimately are designed to make money. I mean, that's what the media companies are actually there for, officially. That's why the people invest in those companies. And when you keep basically ticking off larger and larger amounts of people and the wokeism stuff doesn't work anymore and you can't force people to go along with things they know are stupid because they're afraid of getting in trouble and people are willing to voice their opinion through X or something like that, and there's so many outlets like our podcasts or certainly, you know, Tucker Carlson and all these other people out there, Joe Rogan, whatever you think of these people, they have a lot of impact on people, and their alternate media is getting bigger and bigger, and their audience is getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, part of it is as that niche gets smaller, they have to diversify to some degree. And I think also just the fact is that they have to at least make the effort in certain cases to look a little more like we're trying to be balanced. I mean, everybody knows that something is left-leaning or something it tends to be liberal.
Right.
That used to exist in the past, too. The Times was always a liberal paper. right. You know, kind of a thing. And the Post was always a liberal paper, but it wasn't far out to the left. It wasn't sold out so much so that when something obviously to an average person made common sense, it wasn't ridiculed just because it came from somebody who was a conservative. And that's what we have now, is an ideological attack. And I think, you know, I think it's also a thing that some of these people, as you were pointing out, living in their own little, you know, sky palaces with the rest of the elites, really thought they were the adjudicators of what is to be and what is not to be. And when mm-hmm. they find out it doesn't happen, they're in shock. And some of their bosses, whose job is, again, to make money, come down and start saying, you know, we can't just have this kind of ridiculousness that you're putting out there, because you're just turning people off in droves.
But I also think, though, don't you think they have to change it? And we're out of time, but we can talk about this maybe next. From the bottom up and the root of it, because just throwing in a few conservatives is not going to change the overall long-term impact of the media and help them get back to normal. But I'll let you think about that for a couple of days, and we can pick it up next week. How's that?
You got it. This is thanks, a varnish, Doug. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Good point. More on this up next on Fact Check Friday. Always appreciate Doug's comments and his updates on what's coming up on the network. Go to EWTN.com.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment: I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claims to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him, and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asks us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. He or she remains in the bosom of the Church, in its body, but not in its heart. The Church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Thanks for tuning in to EWTN. You can find us online, EWTN.com. This program co-produced. If you're a new listener, welcome by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. And Ave Maria Radio can be found online as well, AveMariaRadio.net. Okay, I totally agree with Doug. I think this is a varnish right now to kind of shining things up for the moment and trying to get an audience back that is slowly disappearing and in big ways. When you look at the numbers that we're dropping for MSNBC and CNN, and CNN announcing hundreds of layoffs to come, and you have major newspapers such as the LA Times, the Washington Post, and other outlets scratching their heads saying, gee, I guess we better look at doing business differently. And it is a business. And people often forget that when we're talking about the news media. So I found this interview that was on Fox a few days ago with Trace Gallagher and this owner of the Los Angeles Times. Very interesting. He is saying that he is going to work hard. He pushed out, the whole editorial board is being replaced. Okay. And he says he wants new voices. He wants a variety of people. He wants a variety of expressions. And it was very interesting, as I said at the top of the hour, the headline that Trace Gallagher read from the LA Times, and this is right before the election, Trump rally doubles down on hatred. This gives you an idea of where they're coming from. In their worldview, there is no other reason, there is no other thing to say about Donald Trump and his administration. Now, if they feel that way and they want to put that in an editorial page, that's fine. But you don't put it in a headline on a news story. There is a difference between opinion and news. At least there was when I was going to journalism school and when I earned my journalism degree and graduated in 1981. And to me, this is what has to change. As Doug said, it's just a varnish. They want to look shiny and new and that they're so open and they're so balanced. And I'm glad they're thinking about it. But in order to last, they have to do much more than just throw in a few conservative voices. Okay, here's this clip. It's about 4 minutes long, and I'll come back and have some final comments as we wrap up a Fact Check Friday on this Friday, November 15th.
The Los Angeles Times on the headline, this is on the front page, one of the things reads, Trump's big rally doubles down on hatred. That's the news. It's not the op-ed. And I'm wondering, when you say you want this paper to be fair and balanced, do you plan to just fix the editorial section, or are you planning to go over and redo the entire paper?
I think the latter. I think exactly. I think one of my concerns is you as a journalist would understand that's news versus opinion. And we've conflated news and opinion. So the first thing I want to do is ensure that we explicitly say this is news, and if it's news, it should just be the facts, period. Right. And if it's an opinion, that's maybe an opinion of the news, and that's what I call now a voice. And so we want voices from all sides to be heard.
Yeah.
And we want the news to be just the facts.
When you talk about the editorial board, because when you tweeted, it seemed like you were going to get rid of the entire editorial board. They haven't all left. Is that the plan, to redo the entire editorial board, or just fill in the people that have left?
Again, I think it's important for us to differentiate. The editorial board is responsible for these opinions on these voices. So right now, we don't have a editorial board if we worry truly about ourselves that are balanced. And so I've gotten beaten up about fair and balance. So I'm looking for people like Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings, who is on CNN, and he's one out of six usually in the room, mm-hmm. where we need to have all voices, the right, the left, and the moderate, the center. And I think it's important because the editors are responsible of stories that are told, mm-hmm. stories are not told. Editors have this nuances of the word hatred versus could the president-elect make a real impact. Mm-hmm. And we need views from both sides, and my goal is not to change the entire editorial board for that perspective.
It's interesting because the election, the voters were very clear on what they wanted. The mandate, even in Southern California, where you have Orange County, and you have San Bernardino County, and you have Riverside County that are more conservative, how do you reach out to them? They are your readers. How do you get their trust back?
Well, in fact, if you look at the 2020 map of California, look at the 2024 map of California, the change has been rather dramatic, moving towards the right as well as being very liberal as before. So it is our responsibility to maintain democracy, to have the views of all our California readers, in fact, the views of all the national readers, to be aired. Because if we just have the one side, it becomes nothing else but an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be risky and difficult. I'm going to take a lot of heat, which I already am.
Yep.
But, you know, I come from the position that really it's important for all voices to be heard.
William, are we missing something here?
No, I was just going to say, you know, in her resignation letter, your editor said, quote, "We have spent 8 years railing against Trump." Do you think that hurts the public trust? And do you have a problem with political bias at large?
I think that's exactly what the press needs to understand. The trust of the population in the press is lower than that even of Congress today because of this. Because you look at one paper and say, well, it's just right, and one paper just left. How about having a paper that is completely having the views of all? So the fact that we wrote over the last 4 years, I don't know whether that was news or that was opinion.
Yeah.
And mostly that was opinion, but conflated as if it's news. So the first step I want to do is have the layperson say, this is just a voice, what I call an opinion.
Right.
And not news.
And it needs to be labeled.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to do that.
Why now? Why now? As Doug said, part of it is money. They want to look different. They are worried about their audience. They want the numbers to increase. And part of that story, we couldn't play the whole segment. There was a report on the status of the LA Times in terms of their circulation. It's way, way down. At one point, it was at 1.5 million. It's down, I think, two-thirds, they're saying now. And as I mentioned, CNN ratings are way down, MSNBC, all these outlets that have just been railing and just screaming and yelling and doing a pretty good job of only bringing us one side of the story. Now, all of a sudden, they're waking up and saying they want a variety. And that's fine. I'm glad to see that on the one, you know, hand. But on the other hand, are they serious about this? Or is this just something because they realize they had their heads handed to them on a silver platter, that nobody's listening anymore? Even these big celebrities, so many celebrities who came out in support of Kamala Harris. And the New York Times recently did a piece that it backfired because people can't relate to these multimillionaires and in many cases billionaires. But at the end of the day, as the Catechism tells us on the segment on the use of social communications and media, we deserve the truth. The information provided by the media is at the service of the common good. Society has a right to information based on truth, freedom, justice, and solidarity. The proper exercise of this right demands that the content of the communication be true and within the limits set by justice and charity complete. Further, it should be communicated honestly and properly. This means that in the gathering and in the publication of news, the moral law and legitimate rights and dignity of man should be upheld. The section on the use of social communications media in the Catechism of the Catholic Church should be distributed to every person in the news business, and I'm talking secular media. In Catholic media, thanks be to God, we already have it at our disposal and use it. They have to get back to the basics, and that is not going to change, unfortunately, with just throwing a few more conservatives in there, here and there. You have to go back and retrain these people or get new ones who are trained properly to give us the truth. We'll be right back.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
St. John Bosco taught his followers that it wasn't enough to stop their students' bad behavior. Good discipline teaches children to want to make choices that please the Lord. If your child is behaving badly, chances are they either don't know how to meet a particular need appropriately, or they don't know how to apply the lessons you've taught them to a new, challenging situation. To practice good discipleship discipline, take a moment to find out what your child was trying to do by acting that way. Then teach them healthier, godlier ways to meet that need. Taking this approach will help your kids know that they can count on you to help them be their best when they're feeling and acting their worst. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 14, this is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
From our friends at Ignatius, beautiful book by Matthew Wiseman, The Two Jerusalems, My Conversion from the Messianic Movement to the Catholic Church. Matthew, welcome. I was just sharing with you my experience with some Messianic Jews who would contact me, and I worked at Protestant Station in southeastern Michigan before I went over to Catholic Radio. And it was very interesting. And boy, talk about interesting. You've been on quite the journey to find yourself at home in the Catholic Church. So I know it's a long journey, and I don't want to give the book away too much because you want people to buy it. But just share with us in terms of how that journey to the Catholic Church began in the first place. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, so when I was very young, from birth up till about 11, we were in the Baptist Church. We didn't start off as a sort of practicing Messianic, practicing Judaism or anything like that. It was a discovery. It was sort of a rediscovery of the Bible that happened for us when I was around 11 to 12 years old, where we started learning about the Old Testament more than we had ever done in the Baptist Church, and started learning about our first liturgical calendar, really, which is the one in the books of Moses, and from there it grew into sort of full Torah observance as I got into my high school years.
And so, how active were you then when you got into this? Was it a very active type of a faith?
It was very active. It was much more full life than sort of our Baptist church had been, where we were serious believers even as Baptists, but that mainly looked like going to church on Sundays and then going to Bible study on Wednesday night. Whereas keeping the law of Moses, it part of the whole point in Jewish tradition is to transform your whole life, to make everything that you do religious, to make everything that you do a praise of God. So it was a complete transformation of life. We discovered daily liturgy for the first time. Well, liturgy at all, but daily liturgy for the first time. And there were rules about food and rules about clothing, and it really made your whole life part of your worship. So it was extremely active, and there was because of that, there was a strong sense of community as well.
I was going to say, so there was a real structure, because it really was built into your life. There was a structure there.
Certainly. There was, three daily offices of prayer, and there were blessings for when you got up and when you got dressed and when you went to bed, and rules about human interaction and everything like that. It was a lot more structure and a lot more system than when we were Baptist.
But so you travel from there quite literally into a big synagogue in Poland, then the Judean desert, and then into the heart of Jewish tradition. You continue this. How in the world did you even come close to rethinking this whole thing and entering into the Catholic Church?
Well, they're more similar than you would think in a lot of ways. So we began to discover the thing that made itself really apparent from this more physical, more practical way of living the faith was that the Bible didn't really give you all of the information that you needed by itself. It really broke us from our sort of Protestant view of sola scriptura, because when you tried to keep kosher, or when you tried to follow these rules about clothing and daily prayer, you found there was a lot that wasn't spelled out very clearly in the books of Moses. And so we started turning first towards Jewish tradition and going, all right, how do people actually keep this? How do they actually observe it? And on what basis? And we learned that there was this whole tradition of an oral Torah, an oral law that accompanied the written one and helped you to interpret and apply it. And we really found that you needed that. Otherwise, you couldn't reach any kind of agreement because of the sort of sparse nature of the text of the Bible. But there were difficulties. The Jewish tradition wasn't built to be compatible with Christianity. It wasn't built to be compatible with the teachings of Jesus. It continued to develop for centuries after the time of Jesus, without contact without direct influence from Christianity. And so there were these gaps and these questions that we always had about, well, how do we fit this in with our faith in Jesus? And, uh, eventually, when I was finishing up college, I came to the conclusion that they were really irreconcilable. I couldn't put my belief in Jesus together with Jewish tradition, that there were too many points of disagreement between the two. And so that sort of left me going, I know that the Bible does not give me enough information to interpret it by itself. So I know I need a tradition, an oral tradition, but it can't be this one. And that led me back to the apostolic traditions.
Wow. We're talking with the author of a beautiful book, The Two Jerusalems, My Conversion from the Messianic Movement to the Catholic Church. Our guest is Matthew Wiseman. In terms of your background, though, I mean, you've been exposed to so much. So in many cases, for example, if you look at the history and the life of, let's just pull out one of our great saints and one of the fathers of the church, St. Augustine, he went all over the place, right? And he was so smart like you and searching and searching and going here and this religion and that religion. But at the end of the day, realizes that, you know, it's Jesus and the Catholic Church. Do you find, I think your situation must be a real Romans 8:28 situation, all things working together for good, because you've had so much exposure to so much in the overall different traditions that really help you appreciate the Catholic faith even more.
Oh, definitely. And this is one of the themes of the book, I think, that I didn't write it in deliberately, but it sort of emerged as I was writing it, that I had all of these encounters all along that were directing me towards the Catholic faith when I had no idea that that was the direction I was going. In fact, I very much thought I was trying to get further and further away from traditional Christianity. But really everything was pointing me that direction. And when I realized that, it was a sort of the scale, it was a sort of moment of the scales falling off your eyes and going, oh, everything was pointing here. One of the things I make a point of in the book is that I had these fascinating encounters with Catholics and with Catholicism long before I was considering it at all, that I think were God preparing the way to bring me back to the historic faith. So yes, absolutely. And I don't think that that's unique to my story. I think that's really all of our stories. It's just that we haven't all gotten to the point where we've realized it yet, that God's always directing us back towards Him and towards the true church.
Yeah. I was telling you during the break, and I can't remember if I mentioned it on air or not, but for a time I had worked at a Protestant station after coming back to the church. And there were several people there who worked at the radio station and also listeners who, when they found out I was Catholic, they were Messianic, and they were Messianic Jews, and they were very, very, very critical of the Catholic faith, and they took the same attitude as many anti-Catholic fundamentalists. Why do you think that is?
The Messianic movement as it exists today is very much a product of the Jesus movement in the 60s and 70s, which has strong ties to what it became in the charismatic movement and evangelicalism, has very strong ties to anti-Catholic fundamentalism, but also the same stories, the same sort of myths about Catholic paganism and the Emperor Constantine have been floating around since the Reformation, and they're very much in the DNA of the Protestant movement. And even I still have, you know, friends who are Protestant ministers, and even the best educated among them, they find that they're having to fight in their own congregations against misinformation. Even though they're not Catholics, they go, well, these are not good arguments. Mm-hmm. So I think it's sort of baked in, those same myths, the same misleading stories. They come down to us all the way from, you know, the 15th and 16th centuries.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they just it's really hard to root them out once they've dug in.
So for whom did you write the book? I'm sure it was somewhat of a catharsis to tell your story, but you know, what type of readers, Matthew, do you hope will pick up this book?
As I was, especially in the editing process, I was really hoping to make it accessible to Catholics, to help them understand that I do think this is a growing movement, a Messianic and Hebrew roots movement, and I find more and more people that I encounter ask me, can you tell me about this movement, so that I know Committed Catholics weren't considering joining it, but I've got a friend who's thinking about it, and I don't know what to tell them. I'm hoping to make it accessible to Catholics to help them understand what this is and be prepared to answer it. But also I wanted to make it accessible to people who are in the Hebrew Roots movement or are considering it and see how the Jewish roots of the faith really point to the historic church, to the Catholic Church, not to these sort of Reconstructionist movements, which often misunderstand the historical data and especially the biblical data that they're looking at.
So how would you describe, though, the Messianic movement? Because there's different factions of it. You have Jews who convert to Christianity and become Messianic. They're called themselves Messianic Jews, and those are the ones with whom I dealt with and had some run-ins with in my time, in my short time in Protestant radio. And then there's people who want to embrace a lot of the traditions, but they're still Christian. How do you describe the movement overall?
It's very difficult to come up with one description of what I've come to is the only thing that they really have in common is that it's a movement of believers in Jesus who believe that the law of Moses applies to their life. And that's really about all they have in common as a whole movement. There are those who are Gentiles who believe that all believers have an obligation to keep the law of Moses. Some of them keep it very much, they take a Protestant view and they view Scripture alone, and some a much more sort of traditional Jewish view with the oral law and the Midrash and all of these traditional interpretations. And like you said, there are Messianic Jews, and some of them believe that the law of Moses is a requirement for them to keep because they mm-hmm. are Jewish converts, but they wouldn't apply the same rules to Gentiles who are believers. And then there are others who are more or less evangelical Christians or even Catholics who just want to keep some of their Jewish heritage because they see that it's an enriching part of their lives. And so it's a very, very diverse movement, and it's very hard to pin down.
Yeah, that's very true. So in terms of the response to the book, how's it doing, and what do you hope to do in terms of you out in the speaking circuit? What are you hoping to do with the book, Matthew?
The responses are still sort of getting started. We just started promoting in over the last month, so I've gotten one or two Amazon reviews, but I haven't gotten a whole lot of feedback yet. So I'm excited to hear what people think, and hope to people will reach out and will share reviews so I know how it's being received. I am a high school teacher, so during the year, the speaking circuit is a little bit beyond my reach. I'm doing a lot of radio promoting and podcasts and things like that. Things that I can do from home are sort of my mm-hmm. bread and butter on promoting. I'm really hoping to start a conversation. That's what I want to do. When I was in the Messianic movement, we never talked even really to serious Catholics because we thought Catholicism was so obviously pagan, so obviously beyond the pale that it wasn't a serious consideration. My big hope is to be able to foster a conversation about Scripture and tradition and what it really means to embrace the Jewish roots of the Christian faith.
Isn't it interesting the journey the Lord takes you on, and then you end up being Catholic, and now you're... I just love it, though, but I think it's great. I think you have such a great background, such a diverse background, and that could be so, so helpful in helping people, you know, even in your, I think you're a teacher. Who knows? You may be teaching the faith very soon in some ways. Matthew, thank you, and God bless you. I hope this is a big success. Matthew Wiseman, brand new book, The Two Jerusalems, from our friends at Ignatius Press, My Conversion from the Messianic Movement to the Catholic Church. We'll be right back. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, and we'll be right back on Catholic Connection on Friday. Stay tuned.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Hard to believe it's already been 20 years of leading Catholic pilgrimages. So we're going to celebrate with a Danube River Cruise. We've chartered our own ship. We'll share meals and enjoy good Catholic fellowship together. We hope you can join us next June through Budapest, Vienna, Salzburg, Prague, and a whole lot more. But sign up quick. It's already more than half full.
To learn more about your Ave Maria radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Thanks so much for joining us on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection Coast to Coast and around the globe on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. Just a reminder, next week, Monday, Vanessa Denha-Garmo sitting in for me. I'll be with the crew from the EWTN Rome Bureau. We'll be moving about Central Italy and doing some videos for our online series for our new EWTN book called Italy's Shrines and Wonders, which is coming out in January. And so I'll have more to say about that when I return with you next week. Have a great weekend. God bless. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.